Title of the class has changed somewhat, if you've noticed. It's called Midrash and Meaning on the Parsha. So what I'm doing, and again, I've been doing this for a while already, for the last several couple of months, I've been picking a piece of Midrash and using the Midrash as the springboard as the for the discussion and for what we're going to speak about. So it's on the Parsha, but it's going to be based upon the Midrash, Midrash Rabba primarily. And what I want to do is give a little bit of an introduction to the Midrash, to understand what is the Midrash exactly, because I think there's a somewhat of a, I know for myself, it's been an ambiguous term, understanding exactly what is Midrash. It's sometimes pronounced as Midrash, sometimes it's pronounced as Midrash. And to give you just an idea, I have this volume over here. This is one of, I think, how many, 20 volumes or something?
Yeah.
This is the Yod Scroll Midrash Rabba with, like, looks like an Yod Scroll Gemara.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's broken up by the portions. To give you an idea, I think the majority, you know, let's see. Yeah, the vast majority of this book, actually, this is just the Midrash Rabba on Parshas Bereishis and Parshas Noach, the first two portions of the Torah. So we've got a lot to go through over here.
Yeah.
But again, what is Midrash? Exactly what is Midrash? It sometimes pronounces Midrash, sometimes pronounces Midrash. Really, technically, it's Midrash. So let me explain. I want to spend a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes, explaining Midrash, the whole ABCs from soup to nuts of what Midrash is. And then we'll learn the Midrash on the Parsha. So the word Midrash, comes from the word drash, which means to expound. So that's the first thing. It's an exposition. And it's primarily an exposition on the psukim, on the verses. It's expounding the verses. Now, you can expound verses either homiletically or halachically. Halachically is expounding the verses in terms of what the halacha is and what the din is, what the halacha is. And there are many, many ways of expounding verses. It's not just based upon the simple reading of the verses, but primarily it's based upon the 13 principles of hermeneutical analysis and exposition, which sounds very fancy, but it's a methodology of learning verses, which has been handed down to us for generations and generations from Sinai. The 13 principles, others have a different numbering system, but there are systems, there are principles of how to expound the Chumash, how to expound the Tanakh, how to expound the verses. And therefore, there's what's called Midrashei Halacha, Midrashim on Halacha, of Halacha, expositions of Halacha. And you may have heard these works called Mechilta, the Mechilta. And these are authored by different sages of the Tanaic period and the Amoraic period, which is around about between the 1st and 5th century, the Common Era. And you have the Mechilta, you have the Sifra, you have the Sifri. These are all famous Midrashei Halacha, Midrashim of Halacha, where they're expounding verses for the halachic conclusions. And this is outside of the Gemara and the Talmud. The Talmud is a different system of analysis, so to speak, but the actual Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition, going through the verses, verse by verse, expounding the verses for the halacha, for the law, is called Midrashei Halacha. That's not the type of Midrash that most people are drawn to. The other dimension, or the other area of Midrash, is Midrashei Agada, or homiletical Midrash. So what are homiletics? It's the ethics, it's the philosophy, it's the theology, and it's the expounding of the verses for that purpose. And it's called Midrash Agada, or Midrash Agadata. And these are words. What's Agada? What's Agadata? Right? So you're familiar with the word Haggadah. The Haggadah is on Pesach. But the word Agada, Haggadah, they're all related. And the word, it comes from the word Nogad, which means to speak or to tell. So that's why Haggadah is what you tell over of the story of the Exodus on the night of Pesach. So Agadata or Agada are teachings and sayings. These are philosophical, ethical, spiritual statements and sayings, and it's referred to as Agada or sometimes Agadata. I saw another explanation of the word word Agada comes from the word Nogad, which also means to be drawn out, because it draws the heart. Drawn, the word Nogad, the root, is to draw, drawn, because these teachings and these ideas draw the heart. And actually, it's a good place to mention this, because one of the famous statements of actually the Sifri says the following. It says, Dorshi Rishumas Omrim, the expounders of verses would say, if you want to wish to recognize the one who spoke and the world came to be, then study Agada. If you want to recognize Hashem, if you want to really understand Hashem, then learn Agada, learn the homiletics, learn the ethics of the sages, the philosophy of the sages, the spiritual teachings of the sages, which is Agada or Medrash. Again, colloquially, it's Medrash. But again, I've explained now, you have two types of Medrash. There's Medrash Halacha. What we're really after is the Medrash Agada, the Medrash of the homiletics. Study Agada, through which you will come to recognize the Holy One, blessed be, and cleave to his ways. So if a person wants to really understand Hashem, the depth of what Hashem is about and what Hashem wants for the world, what our purpose in life is, learning Agada, learning Medrash is the key to doing that. So the most prominent Medrash Agada, most prominent Medrash is Medrash Rabbah, the great Medrash, which is what I have in front of me over here. Medrash Rabbah is the most prominent of all Midrashim, expounding the verses for the ethics, for the different teachings, the spiritual teachings. And it's made up of 10 volumes altogether, 10 volumes for the 5 books of Moses, as well as the 5 Megillas, the 5 scrolls. So Medrash Rabbah is dedicated to just specifically the 5 books of Moses, expounding the 5 books of Moses, plus the 5 Megillas. But there are other Midrashim also, Tanchuma, Medrash Tanchuma. That's on the Chumash as well. There's also Medrash Shmuel on Tehillim. There's Psikta, there's Pirkei de Eliezer, Tana de Eliyahu. These are all other famous works of Medrash. But again, Medrash Rabbah is the most famous one.
Who's responsible for Medrash Rabbah?
It's not one person. It's like it's put together by certain individuals, but it's a whole composition. I'll read what it says over here. They're all repositories of the Agadic teachings and expositions of our Tanayim, the earlier sages, and the Amorayim, who flourished from approximately the first to the fifth centuries of the Common Era, whose Torah we breathe in the realm of Agada no less than in the realm of Halacha. And again, you know, this famous statement, if you want to know, to recognize Hashem, then come and learn Agada. So that's our introduction over here. So let us begin. So as I said, you know, the Medrash Rabbah on Parashas Bereishis is quite a lot over here. So I couldn't decide which one to pick. So, you know, I thought maybe logically it may make sense to start at the beginning, to the very first one. So the very first one, I'm going to read you what it says, right? And it's the first one for a reason. This passage over here is the first one for a reason. And we're talking about the creation of the universe, the creation of reality. Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ves haaretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, even though that's not the proper translation, right? And the Art Scroll even discusses this. Mm-hmm. Bereishis, in the beginning, loosely, in the beginning of everything, God created the heavens and the earth. So, you know, what would the Medrash be speaking about? Especially because, as I just said right now, Medrash talks about the theological, the very, very, you know, abstract, you know, theological ideas. So many people would probably be expecting some very, very abstract and very deep, mystical, spiritual teaching about creation, about the universe, what existed before the universe existed, if such a thing could be even said. You know, what happened was Hashem doing before Hashem, before he made the world, all these very, very mystical ideas. It doesn't say that. The Medrash opens up the audience is sitting there in the theater, ready to hear the very, very, very first teaching of Medrash that the rabbis want to teach us. And it's authored by Rabbi Hoshaya Rabbah. That was his name, Rabbi Hoshaya Rabbah. Hoshaya the Great opened his discourse. Posach, he opened up his discourse on the first Posach. And as I've said before in previous classes, Medrash also takes a style of connecting verses in the Chumash with other verses in Tanakh elsewhere as well. So he says, Pasach, so he opens up his discourse and he said, the Pasach which I want to highlight as the connecting verse elsewhere in the Tanakh to explain our verse of Bereishis Bara Elokim is the Pasach in Mishlei, chapter 8, verse 30, which goes as follows. Ve'eheyeh Etzlo Amon Ve'ehaya Shashuim Yom Yom. I'll translate it. The Torah describes itself, its relationship with God before the advent of creation. So really what the verse says is this: I was then his Amon. I was then his delight day after day, etc. in Proverbs. So this is like a personification of the Torah itself, speaking for itself. The Torah speaks for itself and it has like a personality, has a voice. And the Torah says, this is how Shlomo Melech is describing the voice, so to speak, of the Torah. I was then his Amon. The Torah says, I was his Amon. Don't worry, we're going to explain what this word means, Amon. I was then his, that is Hashem's Amon. I was then his delight day after day. It's a description of the Torah before the world was created. I was his Amon. I was Hashem's Amon before the world was created. I was his delight day after day. What does the word Amon mean? So the Medrash gives four definitions, actually five altogether definitions of the word Amon. The first definition is Padgog, which means a nurse. The Torah is it's the word Amon is related, and for each of these definitions, the Medrash cites other verses to prove that these are the definitions of these words. But the word Amon is related to a word called Padgog, which means nurse or nursling. So the Torah is saying, I was Hashem's nursling before creation. In the pre-creation era, the Torah was with God as a royal prince is with a nurse, right? The Torah was with Hashem before the world was created. So I was his nursling. That's one definition. Amon also is related to the word mechusa, which is covered over. I was covered over. Amon is mutzna. I was hidden as well. The Torah is describing itself. I was his nursling. I was covered over. I was his hidden one. I was his mutzna. I was hidden. I was his hidden one. V'ista amar Amon rabsa. Another definition is great one. The Rosh Hashanah say it means great, of great significance. I was the thing of great significance, the Torah speaking. All of these words. Now, some commentaries say that this is only a segue to a main point which is coming at the end in a few minutes. But the Sfas Emes and others say that no, there's a message in this as well. That there's a, that would be the first message we're going to learn over here. That the Torah says, I am his nursling. Now, nursling, as I said before, I was his treasured one, his nursling in the palace of Hashem. But the Sfas Emes and others say that it's also an allusion to the, because the word Amon really strictly speaking means nurse, not the nursling, right? It means nurse. A padgog is, that's the word which is being related to, is a nurse. So therefore, I'm a nurse. That's the Torah saying I'm a nurse. So this is the first lesson over here. The first idea is to appreciate what the Torah is. Like, what is the Torah? The Torah is a nurse. The Torah is the nurse of life. What does the nurse do? What does the nurse do to a baby? What does the nurse do for the child? Right? The nurse takes care. The nurse is, it raises a person. It raises the Torah. The nurse raises the person, raises the child. The Torah raises us. Right? The Torah raises us. The Torah is a nurse because it raises a person and guides him along a true path through the laws it sets forth and the moral lessons it imparts. As a nurse carries the suckling, just as the nurse provides a child with life by caring for him from infancy, so too is Torah the very source of life for a Jew. That's the point of Torah. Torah gives us life. It's our padgog. It's our nurse for life. That's a very, very, and that's the first message which the Medrash is teaching us, right? That's the very first message, right, that we have to know. What is Torah? What's the purpose of Torah? Why are we learning? Why are we sitting here right now? We're learning in order to be guided. We're learning Torah to be guided through life, to gain instruction. It's a tree of life for those who will hold on to it. That's what the Torah is. It's the instructions for living, as Rav Noach Weinberg used to say. It's the instructions for living. This is the instruction. It's our manual for life. It's the padgog. It's the nurse raising us, leading us, and guiding us through life. That's the first idea. But as I said, some commentaries say that this whole exposition of the word Amon is a little bit of a segue to a fifth explanation of the word Amon. And this is where we want to really go. because there are the others who say that the definition of the word Amon, Dover Acher, Amon, right? Again, this is the Torah describing itself as being the Amon of Hashem, the Amon. What's Amon? Anyone can think of a word which it sounds like Amon, Amon. I'm going to say it without making too many interruptions. Amon, Umman, Umman. An Umman, what is an Umman?
Craftsman.
A craftsman. It's a craftsman. It's the same word. It's the same, just letters just jumbled around a little bit. A craftsman. So what does that mean? Says the Medrash, a Torah Omeris, the Torah is saying, the Torah, again, it's the voice of the Torah. It's the personification of the Torah. The Torah says, Ani ha'isi, I was the kli umnasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was his tool. I was his vessel of Hashem. I was the vessel of Hashem. I was the tool. I was the kli umnas. I was the vessel of construction of Hashem before the world was created. I was his actual instrument of construction before the world was created. What does this mean? Says the Medrash. But no, Shaba Olam. Normally, in normal life, Melech Basav Adam Bonapultin, a king will build a palace. Ein Bonos and Medas Atzi, he doesn't just build it himself. What does he do? He hires an Uman. He hires a craftsman. And even the craftsman, V'Uman Ein Bonos and Medas Atzi, even the craftsman doesn't just build it by himself. What does the craftsman do? If you hire a contractor, a good contractor, hire a craftsman, he's not just going to just like, you know, in a flash of a second, the snap of a finger, start building something. He doesn't do that. What does he do? He uses papers, he uses diftroyos, he uses a blueprint, papers, pincosios, diagrams. He has all sorts of diagrams. He creates a architectural plan to build the building he's going to build. He uses a blueprint to design the thing he's going to do. That's what he does. L'das heyachu osa chadar, how to make the rooms. Heyachu osa pishpishim, which means how he's going to make the closet doors, the wicker doors. Kach ha'yakadosh baruch, this is what Hashem does as well. And this is what Hashem did in creating the universe. Mabit b'torah, he took the instrument of construction. What is that? The Torah. He looked into the Torah, Ubarias Olam, and created the whole cosmos, the whole world, the whole reality. He looked into the Torah. The Torah says, I was his omein, I was his vessel of construction. I was the blueprint for creation. And he looked into the Torah to then create the whole universe. The Torah says this at the beginning, Bereshis Baro Elokim. Now, Rashi explains, you can take a look at Rashi at a separate time. Grammatically, if you translate the phrase Bereshis Bar Lakim as in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, there's many reasons why it doesn't make sense that way, because it doesn't follow the proper sequence of how the things are created. And grammatically, it doesn't really make sense, because if you say the word Bereshis means in the beginning, really what it should say is Bereshona, different word altogether. Mm-hmm. So there's technical problems with translating the word Bereshis as in the beginning. But you supplant all of these understandings, which we're discussing now. Bereshis can mean, as the Medrash understands it, as not Bereshis in the beginning, but with Reshis, with that which is called Reshis, Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim Va'aretz, he created the heavens and the earth. With that which is called Reshis, this vessel, which is used as the vessel of creation, with that he created the world. And why? How do we know that the word Reshis is a reference to the Torah? Another verse in Mishlei, the Pasuk says, Hashem Kanani Reshis Darko. Again, the Torah speaking. The Torah says, Hashem acquired me as the Reshis Darko, as the beginning of his way, of the beginning of his pathway. And this is how we know that the word Reshis, again, translated simply as the beginning, but it's a word which refers to the Torah. It's like a synonym for the Torah. So therefore, the translation of the word Bereshis Bara Elokim is with the Torah, Hashem created the universe. Hashem created the Torah Hashem created the world with the Torah itself as the Kli Uman, as the actual vessel of construction. That's what the Torah says. The Torah says that, and that's what it says in Mishlei, and that's what the Pasuk is saying. that Hashem looked into the Torah and created the universe. This is also echoed in the Zohar as well with the famous words, Istakel Barais of Bar Alma, that he looked into the same idea. So he looked into the Torah and created the universe. And that's the opening message over here. He created the Torah, he created the world with the Torah as the blueprint, Now, the truth is, if you look at Rashi on the Chumash, so Rashi has a similar statement, and it's actually the source of it. I think it's a different medrash, but I couldn't find it. But this is a very famous comment by Rashi. Also, he says Bereshis bara, not with the Torah did he create the world, but bishvil, for the sake of the Torah he created the world. So he cites a medrash for that as well. But it's the same idea. Why is it the same idea? It's the same idea because what we're learning from this, whether you say that Hashem used the Torah as the vessel, as the tool of his creation, as the blueprint of creation, or whether you say that it means that the world was created for the sake of the Torah, it all means the same thing. It all points to the same idea. The whole purpose of the whole Ganser reality is the Torah. The Torah is the starting point. The Torah is the goal. The whole of creation is only created for the sake of the Torah. It was created with the Torah for the sake of the Torah. The whole world, the vastness of space, the cosmos, the complexity of the universe, the depth of reality, all for the sake of the Torah. He looked into the Torah as the blueprint, as the basis, as the design module. And for the sake of that, that's why he created this whole world. The Chofetz Chaim says that you can always tell how important a particular purpose is by looking at how much time and effort is put out in designing or making something for that purpose. So for example, if you see somebody, you know, you don't know exactly what he's doing, but he's busy all day long, every day, 6 days a week, not 7 days a week, 6 days a week, right? working hard. You know what he's doing. You know that he's preparing for something very big. Right, you can tell by the extent of the effort and the complexity of the thing which is being done that obviously the purpose why this is being done is for a very big thing. Well, look at the universe, right? Who can argue how you can't even describe the massiveness, the vastness, the brilliantness, the depth, the profundity of the universe. For what purpose? So that indicates that complexity and that vastness points to the vastness and the greatness of the purpose of why the world was created. And what is that purpose? The Torah. It's all about the Torah. Now, when I say the Torah, and we say the Torah, when the Medrash says the Torah, what does that mean exactly? What does it mean to say the Torah was the blueprint for creation and the Torah is the purpose of creation? It's very simple. It's very, very simple. We actually say it every single day in our davening, right? It's for the sake of learning the Torah and doing the mitzvahs of the Torah. In other words, what does Torah mean practically in a very, very pragmatic, simple fashion, simple way? It means learning it and doing it. Learning and doing. Right? We say this every day in davening. In fact, actually, pass me that siddur over there, please. I was thinking about this over Yom Tov. In the bracha before the Shema, in the morning brachas before the Shema. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful bracha, and really, if you slow down and really meditate on it, it's really uplifting. So the bracha before the Shema is different versions. Some start with Ava Rabba, with great love, you loved us, different luchschoyos. But then it continues on. It says, you with tremendous love, you loved us. Great compassion you had upon us, Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king, Ba'avor Avesein, for the sake of our forefathers who trusted you and you taught them the Chukei Chaim, the laws of life. So also please teach us the laws of life as well. Teach us, guide us, please guide us in life. Avinu Ha'av Arachamon, our father, the merciful one, Amarachim, has mercy upon us. Rachim Oleinu, have mercy upon us. V'sein B'libeinu, put inside of our hearts, lahavin lahaskel lishmo lumod, to understand, to comprehend, to learn, to listen, to learn, to teach, to observe. So I was thinking about this, that it's an interesting order, right? Because it first says, please put into our hearts the ability to understand. And then it says, to listen, to learn, to teach. You know, it would seem to be that the first thing is to listen, to learn, to teach. To teach and to observe, and it goes on, to observe, lasa, to fulfill all the words of your Torah with love. That's the tachlis, that's the goal, is the fulfillment of the Torah. So why does it begin with the words, please put in our hearts the ability to understand? Now, I'm saying this by myself. I didn't read this. It was my own hergish, my own feeling on this, sense of my sense. Maybe this is the pshat. That, you know, it's not enough just to simply learn. Right, and it's not to simply to teach, or even for that matter, to do a mitzvah. The first step of the whole journey is understand what it's all about. To understand what is this all about? Like, why am I learning? Why am I listening to the Torah? Why am I learning the Torah? And why am I teaching the Torah? And why am I observing the Torah? You know why? Because that's the tachlis of the universe. The whole purpose, bishvil rachis barabi, for the sake of the Torah, Hashem created this whole reality. We only, this whole thing, it's all a facade. It's real, but it's a facade vis-a-vis the truth, the permanence, the real truth of the Torah, the blueprint of creation and the purpose of creation. That's why this is all made. It's only made for that. I saw in another sefer, the Sef Seichai, Rav Chaim Friedland, the student of Rav Dessler, a very, very powerful idea. He says, if we really absorb this idea that the whole purpose of everything is for the sake of the Torah, the fulfillment, that is, the learning of it and the fulfillment, and doing it, the doing and the learning of the Torah, that's what it's all about, then it's a gateway to dealing with challenges. And all of the hardships and challenges we experience in life. He says, for example, there are people who make a mistake to say, they think that it's difficult. He says, Shekosha l'naila medina mudarnis. It's difficult to run a country, a society, with observing Shabbos and Shemitah, etc. You know, keeping Shabbos and keeping the laws of Shabbos, for example, it's very difficult in our modern society and all the challenges we experience. He says, on the contrary, he says, Hashem, Adarab, Hashem Yisbarach, Yotzes HaKashiyim, Hashem made these difficulties. Because what are the difficulties? The difficulties are part of life. That's part of the created universe. It's part of the possibilities of the physical created universe. All the challenges go along with it. He didn't just create the sun and the moon and the static objects. He created everything which we see around us, which we experience. It's all part of the created universe. He created all of this so that we should observe the mitzvahs. So that not only are trees created so we can do mitzvahs, not only are animals created for the sake of doing mitzvahs, not only are we created to do mitzvahs, but the circumstances are created to facilitate our doing of mitzvahs. The challenge we experience, the very challenges, are for the sake of the Torah. Bishvil reishis bara lakim. For the sake of Torah, everything which we experience is for the sake of learning Torah and doing Torah. In order, we should observe the mitzvahs in every situation. So in every single individual person's life, the sionis, the difficult challenges, which plague a person on a daily basis, they're not just circumstances of a difficult bidyeved, like, you know, what can I do? What can I, how, anyway, it's not, it's nebuch, or what can I do about it? It's, you know, I'm challenged, I'm stuck, etc., etc. No. Mechosa bidira, I'm saying it. Lamad Gambahem. I can't read the words, the print is not good. But basically, it's in order to be able to withstand the chest, these challenges are so that I can actually fulfill the Torah. The challenges are so that I can fulfill the Torah even more strongly. That's the purpose. But that's the idea, that's the concept of the world being created for the sake of it all. So it's challenging because we're so used to the permanence and the reality of the physical world. But it's only tofel. It's so tofel, secondary to the real purpose of creation. So this is how the Torah begins, or this is how the Medrash begins. Nothing esoteric, nothing mystical, nothing magical. It's just tachlis. It's a purpose to understand as we begin the journey of the Torah once again, to understand what are we doing over here? Why are we learning the Torah? We're learning the Torah because it's the purpose of creation. That Hashem used everything in the Torah as the blueprint for creating everything which we have, and that's the purpose also as well. I was thinking to myself that when was it two nights ago, the end of Simchas Torah. So the in our shul, 10 minutes before Mariv is at the end of Simchas Torah, so they do one last dancing. So they have a tremendous amount of dancing during the day, of course, for many, many hours. But then everyone goes home for the Suda, and they come back for Mincha Mariv afterwards. And then 10 minutes before Mariv, they do one more little dance, a very, very low-key dance, all walking around the bima. But there's something very, very beautiful about that last dance. It's a very, very, very meaningful, a very, very uplifting. And the last song we were singing right before Mariv was, I think, 6:04, 6:03. And the last song we were singing was L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. Now, you remember, I'm singing it better now, right? I was able to sing it right away. The last time we sang that was after Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Right after Yom Kippur, we blew the shofar. And as I was singing those words the other night, I was reflecting back to after Yom Kippur was over and singing those words as well. And the feeling I always have after Yom Kippur is over, I get so excited because I sing those words, L'shana Haba, and it's such a joyful time because I know I'm going to go home, we're going to break the fast, and then going to next day or that night, I'm going to start building my sukkah, and I'm going to get the Arba Minim, and I'm just looking forward to the sukkahs, to the Yontif of sukkahs, and all the mitzvahs we went through in sukkahs, so the sukkah, the lulav, the esrog, and the hushpizin, and the hushanas, and, you know, as we discussed last week, the Yom Tov Sukkot is so jam-packed with so many beautiful mitzvahs. And that's what I look forward to. And I'm singing L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim the other night. And I'm thinking, what mitzvahs am I going to be going to now? I feel like I'm going out into this desert now. Mm-hmm. And there's no mitzvahs, there's no visit. So I was walking back with Gershon with the shul, and I said this to Gershon, my son. So he said, what are you talking about? The Torah! He's the, you're going with the Torah now. That's the myth, that's the vessel. They're the tools we're going with. Mm-hmm. After Yom Kippur, we went on with using the tools, the vessels of the Arba Minim, the four species and the sukkah. But after Yom Kippur, Simchas Torah, after having spent a whole day dancing with the Sefer Torah, so now what is the vessel? What is the tool which we're going out with? We go out with the tool of the Torah. As the Torah itself, it describes itself as the tool. I am the tool of Hashem. I'm the vessel of Hashem with which the whole world was created. And that's what we have right now. So we're starting Bereishis, we're starting the journey of the Chumash all the way from the beginning. But to understand what this Chumash is and what this Torah is, this is the blueprint for creation. It's not just the guide for life, it's the very blueprint of creation. It's the whole purpose of creation. And everything in life is all to facilitate and to foster A, the learning, and B, the fulfillment of the Torah. So that's how the Medrash begins, and we shall be zocha to have a tremendous journey together in becoming closer to the Torah and the purpose of life.
Yeah.